Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Sports. The Final Frontier. These are voices of the sinner and the saint.
I kick you, and then if you feel well enough, you can kick me in the groin. So if you throw up,
yeah, you're done.
Their weekly mission, to provide hot takes, medium takes, sometimes annoying takes, mild takes, to boldly go where no show has gone before. Luke Anderson.
Oh, Heather Locklear, though. Have you seen her? That's Heather Locklear that smokes. Super, she's a little trashier, so she's like more gettable.
Will Darkins.
I started to get that feeling again, the college football feeling. It's that time where you realize that on Saturdays and Sundays, you can ignore your family.
This is the Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show, presented by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The world's most refreshing beer on 1080 The Fan.
Song always makes me want to dance. Feeling good moving into hour two. Yeah. It's a great time of year. It's a holiday friggin' season. We have bowl games starting today. That's kind of exciting.
It's a little bit exciting.
I'll tell you why the future of bowl games looks bright and there's more coming. If you think there's too many bowl games now, there are more on the way. And I'm not talking about the 8-team playoff. We'll do that in, I don't know, 25 minutes or so.
Whoa. You're telling me that there are more meaningless bowl games coming down the funnel?
And I will tell you why later. We won't get to it right now. I do need to remind you, if they missed anything from hour one, or you want to listen to any past episodes of The Sinner and the Saint or any other 1080 The Fan show, just go to 1080thefan.com and you can download the Les Schwab The Les Schwab Tires podcast, right there. Just go to the on-demand button, and they're all available to you. You can go back and you can listen to, you know, the first 3 minutes of Dirt and Sprague, and then you can listen to the last 12 minutes of Isaac and Suk. You can listen to, you know, bits and pieces of Dusty and Cam. You can do whatever you want.
Hell, you could listen to the last, what, two minutes of our show?
You go
first hour?
You go to the radio.com app, and you can do whatever you want. We create these tools so you can live the life you want to live. I mean, we're 1080 The Fan. We care about you, the listeners. It's not about us. It's about you.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyways, bunch of jerks. Hey, the other great thing about this time of year, not only is it bowl season and Christmas, it's playoff scenario breakdown time in the NFL.
Okay, I genuinely like doing this, actually. I do. I know everybody makes fun of it because they go, we don't know what's going to happen yet.
No, I love it. I always thought that you hated this,
no,
but I genuinely get geeked up. The cool thing, this is why I dislike college football and the playoff and all the playoff scenarios. I love the concreteness of going, if this happens, then this. It's a cause and effect thing, and to me, it is absolutely fantastic. And I've got a list of all of the big-time clinching moments and playoff scenarios to watch. We already had them on Thursday night. So by virtue of the win, the Chargers are now in the playoffs and the Chiefs are in the playoffs. But the funny thing is, with an identical record, the tiebreaker goes to the Chiefs for the division. Both teams are 10-3 right now, and one of them will be the 5 seed.
It's so weird. And by all, by all accounts, when you look at the remaining schedule, both of them should have a good chance of winning out.
So the toughest game for the Chiefs is going to be the Seahawks. So next week they play in Seattle. So,
and you almost think that the Chiefs might pull a, hey, let's rest everybody thing.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. The other playoff scenario is if the Seahawks win this weekend in Santa Clara against the 49ers. They clinch a playoff spot. Ooh. And they cannot win the division. So they will be a wild card. They will either be the 5th or the 6th seed, which means they're going on the road regardless. So right now, the way it falls is they would play against Dallas or Chicago. So I guess you decide who you want to play against. They played both teams earlier in the season. They lost to Chicago in week 2, I believe. And they beat Dallas, I think week 4. So before both teams were fully formed and what they were, so Seattle's already played both of them. So you pick the team that you want to play and try to get that 5 seed because it's more valuable. And if you end up playing the 6 seed in the championship game, you get the home field advantage.
Well, I think if you're in the NFC, there are two teams, which you just talked about, that really are kind of your nightmare scenario, first round or divisional round, I don't want to play you teams. And that's the Bears and the Seahawks because of the fact that both of their defenses are turning on at the right time. A lot of people are saying
Cowboys in there too.
The Cowboys are relatively in there too. Now,
but it's defense too. I mean, their defense is.
Yeah, their defense is what I would call solid. It's not as explosive as what you've seen with the Seahawks and the Bears. It's the Bears. There are people talking about that the Bears actually might be the best team in the NFC. Now, I kind of falter between that because I go, well, the Rams are still really good. I think they're going through a bit of a funk right now, and they're just trying to get to the end of the season.
Well, and I know you're going to poop on me because I am a Seahawks fan, and you've been, anytime I say anything positive about them that you try to say it, out of those three teams that are playing great defense, which quarterback do you trust the most? You have Mitchell Trubisky, Dak Prescott, or Russell Wilson. Only one of them's been there before. Not to mention, Jared Goff is going to be a starting quarterback in there. And if the Vikings get in, it's Kirk Cousins. There's Drew Brees and there's Russell Wilson. Those are the two teams I would want to play the least, just knowing what those guys can do.
Oh, easily Vikings are out of the first round. In fact, I'm even betting the Vikings might not make the playoffs. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now, the only thing they're clinging to is the tie. But if we go to the NFL standings and you look at the NFC right now, here's the way it sets up. The number one seed, by virtue of tiebreaker, Saints at 11-2, Rams at 11-2. So those would be your two teams with a bye. Chicago's at 9-4. They will wrap up the division if they win this weekend. Dallas Cowboys are leading their division at 8-5. Seahawks are at 8-5, and they're a wild card spot. We know that. Here's the rest of the playoff eligible teams. All of them have losing records except for the Vikings by virtue of that tie. They're 6-6-1. The Vikings are the 6th seed right now. Carolina Panthers have lost 5 in a row, and they are 6-7. Philadelphia Eagles 6-7. Redskins 6-7. Green Bay Packers 5-7-1. Technically, at 5-8, the Bucks, Giants, and Lions are still mathematically eligible. And even at 4-9, the Falcons are technically eligible. But you look at maybe the Packers and above. Are there any of those teams, Panthers, Eagles, Redskins, Packers, that you think can beat the Vikings or get ahead of the Vikings in the standings?
It's hard to say because really the Vikings are starting to kind of have a slow burn. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we all kind of, I felt like at the beginning of the season, even when the Vikings were playing kind of shaky, their first game against San Francisco, you kind of went, that was odd. I mean, they won, but you go, they don't look great. Yeah. They're having this slow burn where you're starting to see some really big gaps in what they do. You're starting to see that Kirk Cousins cannot throw under pressure. You're starting to see that their defense really isn't as good as we thought it was. We're also starting to see that Dalvin Cook is really, really frail, and they have to limit his minutes and touches because they know he could get hurt at any time. And so that's why really, among everything else, when this playoff push is coming in these last couple games, I think you're spot on. This is one of the most exciting things you can watch right now. Yeah. These three teams, Minnesota, Carolina, and Philadelphia, who is the most meh?
but the NFC too, though, the thing that's amazing though is
you and I don't put the Redskins in there, by the way.
That's fine. No. Or the Packers.
Or the Packers, because by all technicality, they still
fair enough. But how much fun would it be to see Josh Jackson lead this team? So Josh Jackson ran for a touchdown last week in a route against the Giants. The Giants beat 40-16.
Dude, he looked good.
He did. And he's starting this week.
Yeah, he looked competent.
That's a team I'm rooting for, right? How fun would it be to see? Well, again, you just said Vikings, Panthers, Eagles, Packers.
Those I don't want to see anything positive for the Skins. Like,
man, fair enough.
Did you see that story that came out about Dan Schneider that he's lobbying in D.C. this past week with a bunch of people from Trump's administration and Republican GOP members to try to like rezone that old stadium in DC so they can renovate it. Like he's basically trying to change the laws so he can get a new stadium. Anything that Dan Snyder has touched, I just fair do point. Not want to see succeed.
Fair point. Sorry, Josh. But the top five teams in the NFC too, though, those are going to be great games between any of those teams.
Yeah.
And whoever wins in the wild card round is going to, looks like going to be running up against the Saints and the Rams. You're going to have to play your best football to beat either of those teams. The NFC playoff picture looks absolutely awesome. And then, like I said, with the Chiefs and the Chargers right there. So the Chiefs are, like I said, they're playing next week because they've both already played their game this week. They have, where is their stupid schedule? I had it right here. So they play Seattle, then they go to Oakland. Right, so there's your schedule for them. So you have a tricky game against Seattle because it's in Seattle. You don't think they'd be resting, because if the Chargers win out and the Chiefs lose a game, then they lose the division and now they're the wild card team, right? So then you look at the Chargers, and their two games left are going to be against Baltimore, who is scratching and fighting for a playoff spot with Lamar Jackson starting, and then they play Denver. So those are the two games left on that schedule. And the two teams with the best record, one has to be a wild card team because of the way the divisions are aligned, which is
so
awesome.
So weird. So weird. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think the Chargers do not deserve to get a first round bye. I'm sorry, dude. What was the statement that we said during the break that made us both laugh? Just because you win a lot of games doesn't mean you're a good team.
Do you trust either the Chiefs or the Chargers in the playoffs?
No. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. And I almost changed my mind with the Chiefs like about halfway through the season. I was like, oh my God, this team's so good. And these last three games, you just see they barely beat the Ravens. They kind of struggled a little bit against the Raiders. And then they lose and you go,
Yeah. Here's the thing that has me interested about both of those teams is, you don't know what you're going to get from Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, but you feel like you know what you're going to get from Andy Reid in the playoffs. Andy Reid is disappointment. Patrick Mahomes is unknown.
Well, maybe he'll lift him up.
The Chargers, though, especially after Thursday, is you kind of know what you're going to get from Phillip Rivers in the playoffs. You have no idea what you're going to get from Anthony Lynn in the playoffs, though. And the way Anthony Lynn, so on that two-point conversion, Phillip Rivers is running off going, all right, send out the thing, we'll go to overtime, hope we win the coin toss. Anthony Lynn said there was no question from the time that drive started that if they scored a touchdown, they were going for two. And I like that. And I think that's kind of cool. But I think as a head coach, I don't think that you can know what Anthony Lynn will be in the playoffs. It's not North Turner. It's not Marty Schottenheimer. It's a new guy in there. But Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it's the opposite for both teams.
That's what I was about to say. You've brought up an interesting dilemma for both these teams. Yeah. Will Andy Reid hold Patrick Mahomes back? Yeah. Will Phillip Rivers hold Anthony Lynn back?
Or will it work the other way?
It won't. That's what it's going to be. That's the question. Seriously. Phillip Rivers will destroy that team in the playoffs. I'm confident of it. I mean, they had to make an extreme comeback even to win this game. And I get it that he's a little shorthanded. Didn't have any Keenan Allen or Melvin Gordon during that game. Okay, I get it. But dude, history repeats itself.
I understand that. But here's the other problem. Patriots, do you think they're on a path to the Super Bowl? Do you think they look great right now?
Well, you get your bye, conceivably.
Well, no, but they don't have that locked up. So Houston still has a shot at the bye, and they're playing Pittsburgh this weekend.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh,
you get your bye. I'm pretty sure. Okay. Steelers, also another team that we talk about a slow burn. I don't even know if it's a slow burn.
Okay, but this is my point. So here's the teams that you have to have more faith in than the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Patriots don't look great. Houston with Deshaun Watson.
Got some confidence in it.
Putting them in the Super Bowl over the Chiefs or the Chargers?
Well, I'll tell you what, that defense is playing really well, and Deshaun Watson seems to have finally gotten a grip on what an NFL offense is. He's not running and slinging anymore, man. He's making reads.
But he's never played playoff football. He looked great in a couple national championship games. Steelers right now would be your 5 seed, and then your Ravens. There's not a lot of teams that scare me in the AFC.
Let's go Ravens.
Here's the problem. It's probably the Patriots again.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I know.
And they're 9-4 right now, and they don't look great, but it's going to be the problem.
It would probably be even funnier if the AFC title game was somehow the Texans and Patriots.
If you held NFL records, rookie records, would you root for someone to break them? We've got that scenario, and I'll tell you how the record holder feels about Saquon Barkley coming for his records. We'll do that next, and we'll talk NFL rookie seasons, who's having the best, who's having the worst. This is The Sinner and the Saint on a station called 1080 The Fan. 55305 is a Better You Today text line. We just got through a very hot and heavy NFL playoff scenario conversation. In the middle of it, somebody sent in a text that said, Dodger dogs are terrible. So I'd like to challenge everybody out there to send the most random thought as loosely related to sports as you possibly can while we talk about NFL rookies. And I'd like to just read those in the next break. But I thought that was delightful. We didn't mention Dodger dogs. We didn't mention stadium food.
I don't think so.
We didn't mention anything related to any of this. Maybe they were listening to a different station and Dodger dogs came up. I don't know what happened.
Well, isn't Dodger dog a cartoon character?
No, the Dodger dog is a hot dog at Dodger Stadium.
What kind of dog am I thinking of?
Underdog?
Yeah, I think I am thinking of Underdog.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of Underdog. So, anyways. Send those in, and now I have a question.
Love that cartoon.
For you, Mr. Darkins.
Oh, yes.
right now, Saquon Barkley is with three games left.
Sorry, I just saw the Underdog. Just saw the movie poster for the live-action Underdog movie.
I forgot they made a live-action one. I pictured the cartoon character. I forgot they made that.
Oh, my God. Dude, this is the laziest movie poster I've ever seen in my life. So, it's this... It's this dog figure just jettisoning from Earth's atmosphere into the air. There's a stream of energy trailing behind him. And they've pretty much just thrown a dog's head on it. And the dog looks totally uninterested.
Yeah, that's Underdog. Did you ever watch a cartoon?
Like the dog's body looks like it is
powerful.
Full
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to mess you up, dude. I'm going to bite you.
No
like,
expression
you're done.
Whatsoever on
yeah,
the
but
face.
The dog just kind of looks like it's like looking at you when you're making its dinner. Just kind of like, meh.
Yeah, well, listen, if you had superpowers, that's how you'd be when you use them because they would come to you so effortlessly. You're looking at it the wrong way. All right, so speaking of superpowers, Saquon Barkley having a great year. Frontrunner for Rookie of the Year. Saquon Barkley is 459 yards away from breaking Eric Dickerson's rookie record for total yards from scrimmage. That is 2,212 yards.
Mm.
How do you think Eric Dickerson feels about this young man having a chance to break his record?
I would imagine he's pissed off like most things that come across his desk. He seems like a pissed off man.
Oh, he is. They go, how do you feel? Or are you rooting for him to break your record? TMZ reporter asks. He goes, hell no.
I mean, wasn't Eric Dickerson the one that basically got Jeff Fisher fired?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was on the sidelines.
I mean, he didn't get him fired, but like he started the process by saying like, dude, this guy's kicking me off the sidelines. I'm a friggin' legend around here. Like, no, I get to do what I want.
Yeah. He started as much of an uproar as he possibly could. Yeah, they tried to kick him off the sidelines and do the whole thing.
Good on him.
How about this rookie class, though? I just wanted to talk about it for a second because, I mean, Saquon Barkley has been outstanding on a team that's not great.
He has?
I mean, he's had 1,200-yard games from scrimmage.
Yeah, I guess
He's the leader in the clubhouse for Rookie of the Year. You just don't see it because the Giants are fairly irrelevant.
And that is actually the reason why I asked that question was because – Yeah, I mean, it kind of gets buried. The lead gets buried with him is that he was this really transformational player, and I think that's kind of the curse of being a running back, right? You really can't make too much. Well, I mean, you can make a big impact, but you can't make the biggest impact as a rookie on a team for the most part because everything's got to be kind of going well. Adrian Peterson's really the last rookie running back I remember on the Vikings who made a really huge impact for them the year he got there. But actually my vote for rookie of the year at this point is Lamar Jackson. Dude, that guy basically drug them out of irrelevancy and now they're in playoff position. I know it wasn't just him, but his energy just sparked it.
Well, I think it's the last three games. I mean, if they end up making the playoffs right now, they have the tiebreaker over all the other remaining teams that are sitting at 6-7 7 and 6 in the AFC. So if they can win out, then they have the opportunity to hold on to that spot. They control their own destiny, I guess. And you've replaced a guy that's won a Super Bowl in a city. And if he, you know, I mean, you've basically jettisoned Joe Flacco from the Ravens at this point. But what about Baker Mayfield? You have a team that is a zero-win team last year, and you put him in there, and he's the spark that's led them right now to 5 wins. And if they can win a couple more games, I mean, that's quite the turnaround. Do you have any vote for Baker Mayfield?
You kind of do and you kind of don't. And he's one of those guys too, where I feel like he's been, he's in an atmosphere right now that just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't create a story. Yeah. You know, here's my thing. Actually,
well, people love the Heisman Trophy winner, first overall pick, Rookie of the Year. There's a story there.
Well,
it's just a pretty boring and contrived story.
Well, no, because that's not the story that he has in the NFL. And I mean, honestly, when you're done with college, all that stuff gets left behind. I think a lot of people actually that don't live in Oregon forget the fact that Marcus Mariota ran away with the Heisman Trophy. He was by far and away the best college football player that year. He got to a national title. Most people now remember Marcus Mariota as, oh, yeah, he's going to get hurt in the next three games.
Yeah, but RG3, I think, took his Heisman momentum into a rookie of the year because he was good.
Here's what I'll say about Baker Mayfield. I think he came onto a team that really there were way more storylines that were around him that seemed a little bit more relevant. Honestly, I think the Hard Knocks thing kind of, made him a little less relevant. I know Hugh Jackson getting fired was a bigger storyline than him. Rookie of the Year to me is about how you can balance your really great play with a really great storyline. RG3 is a really great example.
Yeah, he did lead him to the playoffs.
Yeah, he led him to the playoffs. He played on an injured leg when they played the Ravens in the title game. I mean, I think they made the playoffs their last game of the season. It was really exciting.
Yeah, it was. And
but Baker Mayfield doesn't have that. Neither does Saquon Barkley.
Here's the other thing that Baker Mayfield has going against him. So right now, the odds, this is from Bovada, Saquon Barkley is your leader in the clubhouse. Baker Mayfield, Philip Lindsay. That's a pretty good story. A kid from Colorado, played for Colorado, and then is now with the Denver Broncos. And he was not supposed to be a starter. He was, I think he may have went undrafted. And
well, he did. Royce Freeman was supposed to be the dude.
And well, Royce Freeman's been split time with him. Yeah. Philip Lindsay, I've watched a couple Broncos games. He's really good and really fun to watch. But here's the thing that hurts.
Which, by the way, that Denver Broncos team, that's one quarterback and one competent football operations person away from being really good.
I was trying to make the argument on Thursday that the reason John Elway doesn't want a good quarterback is he doesn't want all his records to be broken. So he's more like Eric Dickerson. And then we realize he's like, well, if I never have a better quarterback than me, then I hold on to all the records franchise.
They were actually talking about that on PTI this week when they talked to Steve Young, and they said, why is it? Because, you know, that whole rumor came out that Brett Favre is being considered for a head coaching.
Is he being considered or are people talking about it?
So they presented that question to him, and they were like, well, what's the difference between being a player who coaches and a guy who was, you know, either barely a player or just a student of the game? And Steve Young made a good point, and I think this relates to John Elway, which is usually when you're a player and you're a player as high as John Elway's stature or as high as Brett Favre's stature, you want to do it your way. Yeah. And you just get in your own way because you figure that how you did it was right, so it must be right now. But see, you have guys like McVay and Nagy who are students of the game, and they see trends and they go, this is what's going on right now.
See head coach Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, God. Isaiah Thomas.
Exactly. Well, but then you look at Magic Johnson, though. The reason I bring him up is he goes into a role where he's team president or whatever, you know, where he's three steps removed from being, you know, on the court or, you know, wearing a suit on the sideline. And I think that makes a big difference, too, is sometimes you need to remove yourself even a little bit further if you want to help. Michael Jordan, better owner than he would be coach. Of course, he is slapping Malik Monk around, which is hilarious.
That almost makes me think he would be a really great coach.
The other thing that hurts Baker Mayfield, though, is Nick Chubb is also one of the top five candidates for Rookie of the Year right now.
Yeah,
also
a great season.
Yeah, and then Sony Michel is fifth. And these are just the odds, but that's why I say, because I think I'm with you, if Lamar Jackson takes the Ravens to the playoffs, and what he does over the next three games could very easily win him Rookie of the Year.
Yes, I mean, he really should. Again, I'm just saying.
No, well, but if he has three bad games, he shouldn't. If he has three good games, well, because, listen, being on a team that, because they could just as easily finish 7-9 as they can finish 9-7.
Hold on. I'm bringing up a list real quick here of Rookie of the Year winners. Some recent ones, okay? Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. Last year, 2017, it was Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. Good team. Huge impact.
Good storyline, I feel like. Dak Prescott in 2016, incredible storyline because you take over for
Tony Romo.
And it's
a playoff
Romo.
Team, yeah.
Todd Gurley, maybe not such a great storyline. In fact, they really sucked. I think it was just
There's your Saquon Barkley argument right there.
Kind of when I look at it, my theory falls apart just a tad because a lot of these guys were just kind of the best players on the worst squads.
Yeah, but okay, so the Lamar Jackson argument is...
Whoa, Percy Harvin won Rookie of the Year.
In Minnesota?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Saquon Barkley, you have to give it to him if he sets the all-time rookie record for yards from scrimmage. And Lamar Jackson, you have to consider if he takes him to the playoffs. If he doesn't, he didn't play the full season. He has to be electric the next three games. There's your argument for Lamar Jackson is be great, get your team into the playoffs, and then we'll talk. Let's take a look at the Bulls schedule, and I will tell you why more bowl games are coming. So if you think there's too many now, hold on to your britches. There may be more in the pike. or pipe? Pike.
Sure.
Coming down the pike. Yeah, we'll say pike. All right, first news. Your facial expressions make me think that you hate this song, Will, but it sounds to me like Dean Martin is drunk in it, and you can't take away the joy that that brings me.
That's actually what my facial expressions were about.
Oh, you were
sloshed he sounds.
Listen to this whole song. He's like looking at the lyrics and just kind of throwing in whatever. The sun's real, like, whatever. So great. Dean Martin knew how to drink. Imagine, that's a different life. That's a different time, isn't it?
Oh, don't do that. Did you ever see that Mad Men episode where Roger says,
don't do that?
You people don't know how to drink.
Yeah.
Your generation, we drank because it was good, because it put hair on your chest.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shut it with that.
I'm just, but that's exactly what, when I say it's a different time, not like, oh, I wish I could go back and drink like that. No, it was just like,
your generation doesn't know how to drink.
No, it was just acceptable. Like you made concessions for alcoholics if they had talent. It was like, yeah, Humphrey Bogart's sleeping in the ditch again, and we need to have him on screen in a little bit, but people seem to like him, so we'll just, you know, slap him around a little bit, put the smelling salts on, and get him on screen.
Now, you gave a request to the fan listeners at 55305, the Better You Today text line, to text in the most random stuff you could think of, and then we were going to read it. There's some really good texts on here.
Read away.
So we got, I realize it's a Bills game, but still, how do you manage to clog a porta potty? It's from Sam the Mailman.
Thank you, Sam.
Kareem Garcia was definitely one of my favorite utility men. Underrated weapon off the bench with power. Wow.
Yeah, what else you got?
This beer run is being brought to you by writing myself a $30,000 check bonus. A lot of taxes on that stupid government. I need a drink. Dieter there.
I think that's just Dieter. I don't think he heard the actual solicitation for random
text. I think
text.
He did, and he I think
we
took a,
no, we usually
he took get a, the opportunity.
We usually get a beer run text from him every week. Some people think cucumbers taste better pickled.
It's a Chappelle Show line, which is still good.
It is. And they mentioned it. They referenced it. They gave credit where credit is due. Somebody said they just tuned in. Has Luke given Rop any love for calling the 6-point Zers win last night? Yes, and we played the clip. If you missed it, we'll play it again. Before we get into a little NFL talk, I just want to give an update for all the big Raptors fans out there listening to this program. Kawhi Leonard will play tonight.
Oh, damn it. So I thought
you made
Blazers,
a proclamation at 5:17 that the Blazers will win. Do you want to retract that? I'll give you one opportunity.
No, I told you it doesn't matter if he plays. They're going to win.
Okay.
But they're no longer going to win by 47. They will win tonight by 6.
By 6. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that makes it a better game.
You heard it here first.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That is a great clip.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. You kind of nailed it. So, yeah, we found out, the last, near the end of the primetime show last night that Kawhi would play, and that's how Rob handled it.
Yeah, he did.
What? Yeah, he did. So, if you hate bowl games.
Oh, I hate them. Oh, I hate having something to watch in the afternoon.
Isn't it funny? Like, this is the same argument that baseball gets that drives me crazy. They play too many games. Like, that's your problem with baseball.
Well, that is a problem with baseball.
Why?
Because it goes on too long. This is 1 month of having something to watch in the afternoon.
But you don't have to watch the games if you don't want to. That's the same thing with the bowl game. There's too many bowl games. Okay, then don't watch them. Why do I care?
Because I think it sullies the product a bit. It makes the other bowl games seem less significant. And this is my argument with the whole college football playoff. I know we had news come out that, like, you know, there was some very rich white men who were able to convince somebody that, hey, we're going to go to an 8-team playoff here in the near future. But, dude, I'm telling you, go back to the BCS.
No.
No,
go back to the randomly selected team after all the bowls are played.
Go back to the BCS, man.
I want split championships.
I want to see a BCS game, like, you know, give me some of the classics.
You
like,
want Texas USC?
Yeah, give me a.
Notre Dame Alabama?
Give me Nebraska Miami. You know, I don't want to see Oregon in the national title.
Now, don't you want to watch the four top bowl games and go to one of these eight teams really has a shot at winning the national championship?
Yeah.
Let's But then you can have blowouts in those games where nobody pulls their starters and they're like, if we won by 60, they might give it to us.
Dude, all I'm saying is I think the only New Year's Day game New Year's Day bowl game that really matters anymore besides the four is the Rose Bowl. That's it. Everything yep. else is just ho-hum.
And then, except for when the Rose Bowl is one of the playing games.
Sure,
then,
like then last the, year. Yeah, but like, the same other way. Than that, like I'm still really excited about the Rose Bowl this year to watch Ohio State and Washington. But yeah. I mean, all the other, like LSU, UCF, like why do I care about that in the Sugar Bowl? Do I?
No. You don't. No. But you don't have
to. Is there a point?
But because it exists doesn't mean that it's bad. Like you may not care about opera. But there are people that do in this world. It doesn't mean because you don't care about it, it should go away. I guess that's my point, is you have all of these Bulls games. But here's the point that ESPN made.
Bulls games.
Bulls games. Eh, whatever. Not well, Bulls games, too. You've watched a couple of those.
Oh, I've watched some Bulls games.
You'd rather watch a Bull game or the Bulls game? Yeah. They're both playing in December.
Would you rather watch the Armed Services Bowl or the Bulls versus the Suns?
A random fact from the Better You Today text line, Dan Dickow has five kids.
Yes,
that's
he
a 360 number. I assume it's Dan Dickow letting us know that.
Sure does.
Because he probably still has a 360 area code. Went to Prairie High School.
God, wouldn't that be sad?
Why?
Dan Dickow's listening to our show.
I'll bet he listens every week. Dan, if you're listening and you want to come on, anytime you want to sit in and talk college basketball or talk going to the moon, you're always welcome to join us.
Dan, get a life. Don't you have a family? You have five kids.
Dan, go take care of your kids. Jeez. What are you doing listening to this crap? Shut this off. Let your kids listen to their music. Put on the I don't know. What do kids listen to?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't know. All right. Here's the reason. ESPN put out an article, and they were talking to the Makers Wanted sponsors of the Bahama Bowl. And this is Elk Grove Village Township where O'Hare Airport is in Chicago. And the guy that is in charge of their marketing was sitting there going, how do we get more people that want to move to this area to help build out the area surrounding the airport? There's a lot of projects that are going in and out of the airport, a lot of around it. And he needed people that could come in and work on these building projects. And he's watching a bowl game and he looks over at his wife and says, why don't we sponsor a bowl game? She called him an idiot, but he didn't let the idea die. He goes out and makes the thing happen. Spent $300,000 to sponsor the Bahamas Bowl.
That's it?
Through ESPN. They've estimated that when it's all said and done, they expect to get $3.6 million in advertising value from this campaign. So as much as we look at it, and the Armed Forces Bowl is on right now, and they're doing panning shots of the stadium, and they're looking at how empty the crowd is, and you go, oh, no, but they can't be making any money. They're paying ESPN $300,000. You think ESPN likes that money? Think they can cover a game and make a profit?
Yes. I don't know, man. $300,000 for ESPN is a drop in the hat.
Yes, I understand that, but if you multiply that by right now, you've got, 40 bowl games. They're looking to expand to 43 bowl games in the next few years. That means 86 teams will get to play in it. You already have a dozen teams that are playing at the bare minimum, 6-6, that are in those games. We've seen it in years past where you've had teams at 5-7 that are playing bowl games. And you can complain about it all you want, but it's good for the schools. I know that Will Greer's not playing, but I'm sure the rest of the Mountaineers are happy to go play in the Camping World Bowl.
Damn it. That's what kept me from watching it. I wanted my Will Greer.
But we've been talking about the Camping World Bowl because Will Greer's not talking about it. Camping World gets their plug. So there's a benefit to the sponsors, a benefit to schools because they get paid. There's a benefit to the conference. There's a benefit to ESPN because they're collecting checks from these sponsors. So I realize that as fans and viewers, we don't really care about all these bowl games, but they exist in the background, whether you watch them or not. And everybody that's participating in them has a winning situation. So hate them all you want. They're not going away. If anything, it looks like they're going to continue to expand. And when people go out and tell their stories of how well it's worked for them trying to get people to help build stuff around Chicago, there you go.
You know, I think with bowl games too, what a lot of people nationally don't think about is that bowl games more than anything, take money out of the equation. They're really for, you know, the regional fan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's really exciting when you go to a bowl game, and especially if you're a team like Oregon State, when they make their next bowl game, it's going to be so friggin' exciting for us like for our fan base. It's going to be great. I would even consider if it's on the West Coast somewhere in California, flying out and going to the game. There you go. Because it's exciting. It's the last game of the year. It's kind of a celebration of a culmination of things. And so there's the flip side of that where you have teams like LSU who really the entire season, your aspirations are getting to a playoff. And then you got to go play in the Sugar Bowl, which, you know, a Sugar Bowl bid for anybody else is like, oh, yep. My God. Yeah, I'm going. I'm getting involved in the whole thing. Both of those teams don't want to be there.
Well, UCF wants to be there.
No, UCF wants to be in the playoff. They wanted to be there last year.
You're right.
Both of those teams don't want to play that bowl.
UCF is going to show up because they want to use it as a statement point, I guess.
All I'm saying is I think that there are more teams that want to be in their bowl games than really there aren't. And people should maybe consider that a little bit more. The bowl games have just become a regional thing.
Yeah.
It's a fan base that really likes it and really gets excited.
There's 130 teams in Division I college football, 132, something like that. And you only care about, what, a dozen of them? So how would you possibly care about all these bowl games?
Yeah.
And if you do, you're just a degenerate gambler and you're just looking for ways to put your money down on something and you're reading way too much into what's going on in these bowl games. What to Watch, our hot new segment that is sweeping the nation, is next, and that's how we end The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan. Is there anything that gets you more in the Christmas spirit than Christmas time in hell?
Caroling with his son, reunited for the holidays. God bless.
I know there's another South Park song that you like a little bit more, but you are bobbing your head to this bad boy.
I love this one, especially the fact in the episode they have like Gandhi and Princess Di in hell. So great.
Oh, so delightful. All right, our new promise to you, the listeners, is that we will give you some advice on what to watch this weekend. So this is a new way we're going to end our show. We will get some new imaging for it, and we'll create a big graphic splash around it. But our friends at Encore Audio Video will be sponsoring this segment moving forward. So we're going to keep tweaking it and making sure we get it to work. But we want to tell you what to watch this weekend, and we'll start with what to watch for today. Will Darkins, what are you watching today?
All right, if you're a Top Gun fan, tune into the Country Music Channel at 2:30. They got Top Gun on, but wait a second. If you can sit through We Are Marshall starting at 5, they got another showing of Top Gun at 8.
Whoa.
CMT's playing Top Gun twice today.
So you go Top Gun, then watch We Are Marshall.
Yeah, you watch half of We Are Marshall.
Not bad.
Well, it's not bad, but what I would say is watch Top Gun, then, you know, it's about 3:30, you know, maybe watch half of it, go get yourself some dinner, come back. Top Gun's rolling again. You're ready to go.
All right. Duck fans, here's what you should watch for today. At the halftime of the New Mexico Bowl, a kid named Kayvon Thibodeau is ranked either the number one or number two player in the 2019 recruiting class. He has four schools that he's looking at: Alabama, Florida, Florida State, and Oregon.
Nice.
Yeah, defensive end out of Oaks Christian in Southern California, and he's going to make his announcement at halftime of the New Mexico Bowl. That is around 12:30 Pacific time.
Yes. So
keep a lookout for that. All right, what are you watching in sports this weekend?
This weekend, two things. First, I want to watch the Browns and Broncos game at 5:20 today on the NFL Network. I want to watch that game just because isn't there a technicality the Browns could still make the playoffs?
Yeah, Browns are still mathematically eligible for the playoffs.
I want to see if Baker Mayfield can really lead them into that. I think that's going to be great. The other thing that I do...
Also, Broncos still eligible as well. So
The Broncos as well. And then also tomorrow, Sunday Night Football is going to be great because I got my Rams and I got my Eagles, and we got to see if the Rams are actually going to kind of bounce back from two games that were what we would only describe as lackadaisical. That Lions game was kind of meh. And of course, losing to the Bears, not good.
Never good. The thing that I'm watching for tomorrow in the NFL is Josh Jackson. I want to see how he can.
Really want to see if he can.
I do. And I'm not. I may not tune in for the Redskins game, but I'm going to keep an eye on that because I think that's interesting. The Redskins are still mathematically in the playoffs, and you have a guy that's been on 11 different teams, including two stints with the Bengals and the 49ers. He was the number one pick in the American Alliance of Football. I mean, the guy 2 weeks ago was sitting at home with his kids just watching NFL football, and here he is starting a game for the first time since, geez, I think 2011?
You're basically looking for a Kurt Warner situation.
Hey, listen, if it happens, great. I'm going to be all in on that bandwagon if it doesn't, no harm, no foul. What else you got? Anything else?
No, that's really it. I mean, it's a great weekend of football in the NFL, and really it's going to be for the next couple of weeks just because, you know, the playoff race is so tight.
So tight? How tight?
Really tight.
Yeah.
And also 2 weeks from now, we got the Vegas Bowl.
The other thing I'm trying to watch, because we have to do viewing with the wife. You know, you have to, every once in a while, sit down. Marvelous Miss Maisel started last week.
Is that the new Netflix show?
No, it's Amazon Prime. Okay. So it won 8 Emmys last year. The first season's fantastic. Season 2 started last week, but we both really enjoyed that show. It's about a housewife that becomes a stand-up comedian in the 50s. You see Lenny Bruce pop in and out, but it's a really good show. And since I did stand-up comedy, it's kind of fun to see the way that they portray it back then. So good stuff there. And then my wife wants to start watching Game of Thrones. Have you ever watched Game of Thrones?
Don't do it.
Okay.
Just don't do it. I'm telling you right now. Now, it's one of the love or hate. You're not going to feel okay about it.
If I watch one episode, can I just...
Yeah, you'll get a gauge right from the very first episode. Right. I mean, you can watch maybe 10 minutes of it. And I say after the first 10 minutes, you'll make a decision pretty quick of, whoa, this is me. Or, oh my God, let's watch something else. To me, I found it slow, boring, and way up its own ass.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the direction I will probably go. I haven't tried it yet.
But it's so up there, dude.
Yeah, it will obviously depend on how my wife feels about it. But yeah, I kind of feel like that's the direction I'm going to go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
You can't end the show off yet.
What do you want to do?
You got to wait for a little bit.
Well, I understand that, but that's all I have to watch.
Oh.
That's all I was saying.
Oh, were you going to start ending the show?
That's what I was going to do, is going to kind of move in that direction.
Oh, okay.
So that's it for me. That's what I'm trying to watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And right. you have nothing else.
You can start ending the show now.
You've already said you have nothing else to watch.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something. It's the Armed Forces Bowl. And that's the Armed Forces Celebration Bowl.
You said you never really cared when you played in bowl games. It was never about the game. It was always about the trip and the gifts.
Of course. Yes.
All right, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Will and I are going to be back on Friday. We're both going to be doing Dirt and Sprague, special Sinner and Saint edition of Dirt and Sprague, and then we're back on next weekend to get ready for Christmas. I will be on primetime on Wednesday and Thursday with Isaac again, so if you enjoyed the last couple days, you'll get it one more time. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.